Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
I was the lost sheep. He came looking for me. I didn't go looking for him.
That's right.
He came looking for me. Thank God he found me. And the Bible said in John 10 that he layeth the sheep on his shoulders. Now, if you ever think about that, most time we think about a sack of potatoes, you know, just throwing them over one shoulder. But what the shepherd would do, he'd grab that sheep by his feet and lay him. And that way when the sheep began to toss a little bit, the shepherd had both feet in his hand and he couldn't, you hear me out? He couldn't get away from the shepherd. And I'm glad, thank God, once you're saved for eternity. Somebody help me out. Say amen. You say, preacher, what if I want to get out of the Father's hand? I don't think anybody would want to get out of the Father's hand. Amen? Amen. I'm saved. 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 1 Samuel chapter 27 this morning. Haley, we're so proud of you today. I've said that, but I'll say it again. This is your day to shine. This is your time that we just want to congratulate you. Some of my remarks are going to be directed toward you, but not just her. I don't want you to tune this out. This is a message for everybody sitting in here, regardless of your age, regardless of where you're at spiritually. This is a message for you. And so the Bible said in 1 Samuel 27, verse number 10, there was a question asked unto David, and Achish asked him the question in 1 Samuel 27, verse 10, whither have ye made a road today? He asked David, David, have you made a road today? And David responded unto him by saying, yes, I've made a road today. I've been journeying on this way. And if you read your Bible, you'll find that this is a time that David was in fear of his life. Now, this morning, I want to ask you a question along with Haley here, is that the road ahead of us, what lies ahead of us today? Haley, we are glad you are here this morning. And everybody stood a while ago and clapped and applauded. We are glad that she has finished a course of study. And I'm sure this morning, Haley, you've had some wonderful experiences in high school. And you've got memories as the days continue on. You'll look back over those high school days. You'll look back and your circle of friends are going to change. Everybody in here that's been through high school, you had a circle of friends. But then once you graduated, most of you, our circle changes because we're not around those people every day. I'm sure, Haley, there has been some challenges in your life. As your mom, I had her just to jot down a few things. And I'm thankful this morning, and you helped me out. But I'm thankful that her challenges has not prevented her education. Say amen. I'm glad that this young lady met those challenges and said, listen, I've got a task ahead of me. I've got a journey. I've got a road ahead of me. Now, Hannah, you're going to spend the rest of your life continuing to build on the important things. And how you build your life is going to determine on three of the things I want to share with you this morning. The next several years are very important to you. I heard a story one time. It was on National Public Radio, NPR. And it said this. Have you ever considered that at age 16, a young person can drive? And mom and dad said, oh, what was me? Amen. But at age 16, at age 18, they can vote. That's scary, isn't it? At age 21... they can buy alcohol, which I hope not. But did you know that it takes until you're age 25 to rent a car? Did y'all know that? Yeah, you have to be 25 to rent. If you go down to Enterprise or Alamo or somewhere and you want to rent a car, you've got to be 25 years of age to rent an automobile. And the reason for that, they tell me, is that the brain is still developing And you're not thinking long term. Can I ask y'all a question? Those of you that graduated, that finished high school, some of you said, "Preacher, I never finished high school." But let's just say that you finished up and you said, "I'm going to be this the rest of my life. I want to be this. I'm going to be a used car salesman. I'm going to be a store manager." And then all of a sudden, you find that you're doing something entirely different than what you ever started out to do. How many of you did that? Come on, raise your hand. Most of us do that. You know what? And many times, being in education for years, many times we put pressure on young people. By the time they get 18, by the time they graduate, that's great. You mentioned that she hadn't decided on her future plans. That's great. Many times we put pressure on young people to go ahead and decide on a college, to decide on what they want to be. And 18 years old, their brain has not developed enough to think long term. By the way, the reason for not being able to rent a car is when you're 18, you're just thinking about how fast you can go and how far you can go and how quick you can round that curve. Of course, now, Daryl, that may apply to... No, okay. And so they tell me that you got to be 25 before the brain thinks long term. Now, when we are adults, what are we thinking about? I might get a ticket. My insurance is going to go up. I might have a car wreck. You know, we're thinking those things. But here we are, everybody in here, we're on a path. We're on a road this morning. And here this morning, David was asked the question, have you prepared the road ahead of you? How many of you? Be honest with me now. I'm not going to ask for details. But how many of you be honest with me this morning and say, "Preacher, I wish I could go back and travel that road again. Preacher, there were some mistakes I made years ago that I wish I could undo. There were some paths that I took years ago. I wish I had been wise enough and not went down that path. There are some times I tripped up and I failed. There were some mistakes I made in my past that I wish that I could go back and change, but I can't." But how many be honest enough and raise that hand and say, "Oh, if I could go down that road." Come on, raise them up. Come on, Haley, look around. You'd say, "I wish I could change some things, but I can't." Scripture tells us there's a concise picture. There are three things that if you're going to travel the road of life, there are three things that you need to consider this morning. Number one, I'll give you number one, three things. Face your fears. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Can I stop right there and say this? I believe this. When the Word of God says, God has not given us, sister, God's not given us the spirit of fear. Hear me out. I firmly believe today in an unseen world of angels and demons. How many of you agree with me? God says, don't be given over to the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Throughout Scripture, the Bible tells us, fear not, fear not, don't be afraid. And this is quite fitting here in this passage, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Hear me out. Timothy is writing, or Paul is writing to Timothy, a young man in the faith. Haley, he was not much older, or maybe about the same age as you. You got a birthday coming up. Are you going to be 18 or 19? 19. Amen. Timothy was probably a young man like she is. And Paul said this to Timothy. Timothy, you're a young preacher. You've been a protege of mine. And it's probably that he was a young man here. And Paul had previously encouraged Timothy. He said to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer." And friend, this morning, Paul could remind Timothy that just because you're young doesn't mean that you're incapable. You go back and look in history. Some of the greatest people in this world were young people. Amen. They wasn't set in their ways like us old people. Amen. When you gave your life to Christ, listen, everybody in here, when you gave your life to Christ, the Bible says, and the Bible teaches me this, that the Holy Ghost of God came inside of you, and now the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, say amen with me.
Amen.
He will guide you. He will teach you. He will direct you. He will comfort you when your heart's breaking. But He also is that one of the Trinity that will lead you. The Bible tells me this, that the steps of a good man or a woman are ordered by the Lord. How many of you believe this, that God directs your steps?
Amen.
Now you got a choice. You might say, God's leading me to do this, God's leading me to do that, but you have a choice to make. You can either decide to go that direction, or you can decide to go in your own direction. Amen? Oh, He's there to provide us. The Bible says, but we oftentimes suffer from fear. Christian author Max Lucado said this, fear doesn't want you to make the journey to the mountain. If he, the devil, can rattle you enough, fear will persuade you to take your eyes off the peaks and settle in for a dull existence in the flatland. Haley, God can and God will use you, young lady, for great things. I believe this. Great and mighty things. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got a pattern for her life as well as your life this morning. God's got a reason. As long as you're breathing His air, God's got a reason for you being here. But now there is a strong correlation between what goes on up here and what goes on in your feet. In other words, if you don't believe it, you'll never do it. If you never can see it up here, have you ever, I've used this before, some of us have been around a while. How many of you remember Bob Timberlake, not Bob Timberlake, what was his name? Oh, Ross, what was his name? Bob Ross, yeah. Happy Little Trees, yeah. And you remember Bob Ross? You know, the afro, the blowed out hair? Oh, yeah. Now, visualize with me a second. If you've ever seen him on TV, now, he's not living now, but if you've ever seen him on TV, he'd start with a canvas, and he'd start with a wide paintbrush about 4 inches wide, and it looked like he'd just, you know, just throw paint up there on that easel and just sling paint everywhere, and you say in your mind, what in the world is he doing? And all of a sudden, it'd start coming to life, and you'd see a beautiful landscape, and you'd see a river, and you'd see some bushes and so forth. And then he'd be talking along, and he'd reach back, and he'd grab a paintbrush and have black paint in it, and he'd just go, phew, and phew. And you say, man, he messed that picture all up. He put black streaks all in that picture. And then he'd keep talking. And then he'd keep working. And what you didn't see, but he saw, was those happy little trees. And after a while, you saw them happy little trees. What am I saying? God, the great divine artist in heaven, has got His paintbrush on your canvas. And what you think are black streaks, what you think are dead-end roads, what you think are dry holes, is simply God is leading you. God is directing you. He's not finished with your canvas. He'll be finished the day that you see Him. But until then, He's still working on me.
Amen.
To make me what I ought to be. Took Him only a week to make the moon and stars and the sun and the planets and Jupiter and Mars. But He's still working on me. But when we have fear, listen to me now. When we have fear, and everybody in here experiences fear. Everybody. Some of you are afraid you're going to get cancer. Some of you are afraid you're going to die early. Some of you are afraid you're going to run out of money before you get 65. Some of you are afraid your spouse is going to leave you. So you've got fears. You've got fears and anxiety. You're afraid. But my friend, the Bible said, casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. And fear will paralyze you. Fear will keep you in its grips. Fear will keep you from being what you ought to be for God. If we keep our focus on Jesus, His power,
we'll be able to overcome. How many of you believe this? We can overcome our fears. Somebody help me out. Amen. Sister Pat, I'm going to use you. I hope you don't think I'm embarrassing. Pat Hall over here just a few years ago, she'd been afraid of water all of her life. Walking out there one Wednesday night, we were getting ready to have baptism. I was going to baptize Sandy and Christian at the same time. And I talked to Pat. She'd never been baptized. Been saved, but never been baptized. She had been afraid of water ever since she was a little girl. But guess what? I gave her that Bible verse. And I said, you learn this Bible verse. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And you know what? A little while later, she came back and she wanted to get baptized. You know what? I baptized her and Sandy and Christian all at the same time. You can overcome your fear with the help of the Lord. Somebody help me out. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will stop you in your trap. Fear will keep you from doing what God wants you to do. But my friend, remember this. God is not behind any spirit of fear. Number two this morning, quickly, notice, not only do you have to conquer your fear, but number two, Haley, we got to forget our failures. Listen to what Paul said again, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I'd already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend for that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Hear me out. Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. You cannot change yesterday. You cannot change your past. You cannot change your failures, your mistakes. Oh, some people live in the past all the time. They live in regret all the time. Honey, you cannot do anything about your past. What you can do is forget all those things that are holding you back and realize that God has something more in store for you and for me by forgetting those things which are bogging us down, holding us down, defeating us every day. God wants us to forget our failures. God wants to forget our sins. God wants to forget our mistakes, our disappointments. Somebody help me out. This passage is very interesting. Most of the time we use that. Let me put these aside before I spit all over them. Most of the time we use that. We're talking about a new year. And that's fitting. Now we're talking about a new journey. And Paul reminds us we need to keep pressing forward. We need to keep moving forward. I'm not big on New Year's resolutions. Probably if you start a New Year's resolution, the number one New Year's resolution is to lose weight. I'm not going to ask you how many of you still keeping that. But a lot of people said, I'm going to lose weight in the new year, 2019. Half of it's already over. How much weight you lost? And you know what happens? We get bogged down. We say, I'll never be able to do it. Hey, listen, forget those things which are behind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're reminded that God, listen to me, folks, God has a goal for your life. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for you breathing His air. God has a reason you're in church this morning. God has a purpose for you being here in this city, in this town, in this district. God's got a reason for you being here today. He don't want us just to save us, to get us into heaven. Turn your Bibles real quickly this morning. Romans chapter 12. I want to show you something. Romans 12. This will change your thinking. Romans chapter 12. One of my wife's favorite programs. We don't have cable at home, but one of her favorite programs is that one called, what, the Fixer Upper? Is that it? Chip Gaines. Amen. There are Christians, by the way. Amen. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Several of them shows on HGTV. And by the way, Stephanie, this will apply to y'all. They're in the transformation housing. They'll buy a house and they'll gut it out and make a beautiful house out of it. Now here's where this verse comes in at. Look in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul said this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Y'all with me? That you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord,
which is your reasonable servant. Now watch this part. And be not conformed to this world.
Hear me out. The world, that word conform means to take and gale, to press you in a mold. It means to make a cookie cutter. It means to make the same thing out of everybody. That means the world's philosophy says you've got to, in order to be successful, you've got to step on one another. You've got to strive. You've got to lie, steal, cheat. You've got to climb the ladder of success. You've got to have a nice house, nice car. In order for you to be successful, the world wants to push you in that same mold. But look what the Bible says. Don't be conformed, but be ye what?
Transformed.
Hang on just a second now. Thank you. Amen. I like excited people. Be ye transformed, Gail. That word transform goes back to those home improvement shows. And they walk in that house that's got 1970s kitchen. What was it? Bronze or copper tone. Yeah, I remember. Or yeah, but what was the green? Yeah. You say, what are you talking about? My place is still that way. And you walk in and they say, hey, listen. And then Joanna, yeah. And she, boy, you know, she can see this stuff. I'm like, and of course she sits down with them people and does a computer drawing and says, you know, we can take out this wall and then we can put this up and we can take this carpet out and we put hardwood floors in and we can go in the bathroom and we can gut this out. And they say, yeah, that looks great. And so then it's demolition day. I like that. Amen. Walk in with a sledgehammer and start tearing everything apart, knocking holes in walls. You know what that word right there means? Demolition. Transform. In order for you to be transformed, you got to tear down some stuff. You got to tear down some things that you've been thinking. You got to literally gut your life out, gut your mind out, and let God rebuild it with His design, with His plan. And you know what? His plan is a whole lot better than my plan. And that's what that word means. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So many people today are just living with the good. And some are living just with the mediocre. But I don't want just that. I want the perfect will of God for my life. To live that means not to live in the past. And third of all this morning, let me hasten. Let me just say this. God has said in His Word, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now listen to what I'm about to say. God knows everything, doesn't He? God knows everything about me, everything about you. He knows everything that's ever happened to you. God hadn't forgot one thing. But you know what that verse means? God chooses not to remember. And so anybody that wants to drag up your past, it ain't of God. Amen? Amen. Somebody will say, well, so-and-so, they did this when they were a teenager. They did this, and they got involved in this, and so far. Honey, I got good news for you. What God has wiped away, don't let man bring it up, because listen, if God has chosen to forget it, we ought to choose to forget it.
Amen.
Third of all, notice the third thing. Haley, third thing is this. Follow your faith.
Honey, I want to tell you something this morning. One thing that will keep you going, Sister Joanne, the one thing that's kept you going all these years. How many years have you been saved?
Oh, Lord.
Too many.
I was a teenager.
As a teenager. She's been saved about 15 years. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. The one thing that's going to keep you going down this road of life is follow your faith.
That's right.
Follow your faith.
That's right. Take that step.
Matthew 14, 28, 30 says this, and Peter answered, here they are out on the water, and he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Jesus is walking on the water. How many of you believe he walked on the water? And Jesus said to Peter, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. In that passage in Matthew 14, Jesus had a very busy ministry, very busy day. He finished with feeding the 5,000. We say the 5,000, but back in biblical times, ladies, I'm not slighting you one bit, but in biblical times, women didn't count. They just counted the men, 5,000 men. They didn't count the youngins. And so if we figure the women and the children in, probably two children per family, we're looking at probably 15 to 20,000 people. Man, that's a whole lot of groceries. Somebody say amen. You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about how many dishes you'd have to wash. Somebody help me. Amen. Y'all did hear about the fellow that dreamed and woke up the next day and he was just all to pieces, and somebody said, what's the matter with you? He said, I dreamed that I was on this desert island with these 12 beautiful women. Well, what's so bad about that? He said, I had to wash dishes for all 12 of them. Jesus had a very busy day feeding the probably 15 to 20,000 people. And Jesus retreats up to the mountains to get a little rest and a time for prayer. And the disciples, they get in a boat and they head across the Sea of Tiberias. And the Bible tells me there in Matthew 14, at the fourth watch of the night, which is the darkest part. Have you ever stayed up all night? And have you ever noticed the coldest? I've seen this happen. Some of you hunt. Some of you know this. You know when the coldest time it is? Right before daylight. The frost will fall right before daylight. And the fourth watch of the night is the darkest part of the night. And the disciples are out there in the boat. And they look and they see it looks like some apparition. It looks like some ghost walking, coming towards them. And Jesus identifies himself. And seeing Jesus, Peter calls out to him and says, Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you. And Jesus said, come on. Yeah. That's not him. Yeah, it's not in there, but that's y'all southern dialect. Yeah. Y'all know what him means, right? Yeah. Come on. And Peter gets up out of the boat and he starts walking on the water. Now listen to me. Somebody said, well, Peter sunk. I know he did. He started sinking. But wait just a second, honey. He at least had enough faith to get up out of the boat. The rest of that crowd still sat in the boat. You want to see God do something in your life? Have the faith to get up out of the boat. Step on the water. It's by faith. We want to see the mouth of the lion shut like it was in Daniel's day. But we don't want to get down in the lion's den, do we? We want to see that fourth man walking in the fire. But we don't want to get in the fire. Peter here, he got out of the boat. Notice, Peter didn't make a move until Jesus said, come. Hear me out. It's not faith to step out unless you're stepping out on God's word. Some people say, well, God told me to do this. And God told me. I told y'all, and he's with the Lord today. Bless his heart. He was a dear man. First church I pastored. I mean, he was. He meant well. But we was talking one day. He was teaching Sunday school one day. And he bought a brand new Rambler station wagon. And I said, Brother Troy, how'd you know how to do that? He said, I knew it was God's will that I buy that brand new Rambler station wagon. I said, how'd you know that? Because my loan went through. I thought, Lord help. A lost man with good credit, he could get that done. Amen?
What am I saying?
If it's not based on God's word, it ain't faith. You might try to make it faith. You might say, well, God told me to do it. No, wait a minute. If it's based right here, if you can find right here, and you can anchor it right here, then you live right here. Amen. Christians, your primary reference always should be the Lord Jesus. Faith requires a focus. Peter, as long as Peter stayed focused on the Lord, he was fine. But when he got his eyes off and he saw the wind and the waves and he saw everything around him, he began to plummet. It's not life's storms that make us fail. It's how we respond to them. Let me say that one more time. Haley, you're going to have some storms in your life. Sis, you've had some storms. You've had storms. Everybody sitting in here has had some type of storm in your life. If you're not in a storm, you're coming out of one or you're getting ready to go into one. One of three places, you're either in a storm, you're coming out, or you're getting ready to go in one. It's not the storm that destroys Christians. You know what destroys us as Christians? It's when we get our eyes off of Jesus and get them on our circumstances, get them on our bills, get them on our health, get them on this and that, get them on people. We'll fail every time, but you keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep walking towards Him. You let Him lead you. You let Him direct you. You answer, yes, Lord. Your greatest challenge in the coming years, Haley, is to keep your faith constantly focused on Jesus. Christian sitting here today, I don't care if you're 18 getting ready to turn 19, or if you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s, or like some of us 60s, some of you a little older. Unless you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, you're going to become a statistic. When the storms come, when things happen, it's out of your control. When situations develop that you cannot control. And if you don't have a strong faith, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be a statistic. You're going to be the one that's home on Sunday morning. You're going to be the one that walks away from God. You're going to be the... Listen, you have a journey. You're still breathing God's air. You're still making headway. God has you here for a reason. God wants you to be an instrument in His righteousness. God wants you to point people to Christ. And listen, my friend, it's in the storms. When you're in a storm, people are going to come to you. People are going to see you. They're going to ask, how are you able to handle this storm? And you know what you're going to say? My faith in Christ.
Amen.
Joanne.